thank you very much for joining me. We've heard quite a lot about the milestones. We've heard quite a lot about the projects. We understand perhaps a little bit better about where the constraints are. But I think what I want to know as an outcome of today, what is the message that we need to send back to industry? Where is it that you need support? And how are you going to get the support from industry to take you seriously?
Well, we've seen a lot of, and we've experienced a lot of support from industry. I mean, the North Corridor, I've spoken about this mutual collaboration agreement. So we're clear about the challenges that we have. We're clear about the requirements that we have, what we need to do, which things we need to fast track. And I mean, everybody knows some of our processes take long, and industry has stepped up and said, to get these things done faster, how can we get involved and help you with the procurement process and make sure that we get the capacity back as quickly as possible? So, for instance, you would have seen the issues with regards to the batteries and the compressors. So industry uses their processes to buy these things, and then we have to repair. But at least we get these things done faster. Same goes for the security. So good support. I would say others have said that they see it's a good thing. I think on the ore corridor, the big iron ore exporters, they've indicated that they want a similar agreement. We can see in some of the other industries on the northeast corridor with the chrome magnetite and rock phosphate, also interest to have a similar agreement because they really want to support us. Some of the machines, some of the components that we require have long lead times. They say that how can we help to fast track this? And in various ways, we had the derailment earlier on the North Corridor, and industry came in and said, let's help you get some of the machines on site faster so that we can get the line open as quickly as possible. For me, the North Corridor and the ore exporters, the coal exporters, have really shown the way as to how industry can assist us. I think everybody wants rail to succeed, and really, we're making use of that helping hand that's been extended. Obviously, they want to see performance, and we're clear about where we need to go, what are the plans we have to make sure that we get back to where we need to go. So we've been honest, and they've said, let's help, and you can see others are wanting to follow that model.
So whilst you're on your road to recovery and turning things around, how are you then supporting or integrating with SARA? And when I say SARA, I'm talking our neighbours, the Southern African Development Community. Because obviously we'd like to see more connectivity or seamless connectivity without, you know, having to stop and change and all the rest of it. And so that's one part. And the second part is what's happening with our cross-border projects.
Well, we've had engagements with Botswana Rail about how they access South Africa and how we can make sure that we get to that seamless that you refer to. What sort of agreements, how odd engagements that do we need to have with RSR? And we've certainly started with those steps. There are some issues in terms of the standard of the maintenance and the rolling stock when they access the network. So we want to work with him to work through these issues and make sure that there is a seamless. Some of the practice that we see currently is that they would bring it to the border, some of the products to the border, offload it, and then we have to go pick or move it with road trucks. And we really want to move away from that sort of thing because of quality of rolling stock. So if we can resolve some of those issues, and like I say, we've started with those conversations. I'll be meeting with our partners at CFM shortly. And then we've had some discussions recently with Transnamap. Mm-hmm. With Webster and the team, yeah. To see also how we can make sure that cross-border traffic we can increase and reduce the dependency on the road. I think there are some real opportunities. It's this interoperability and making sure that we get to the seamless movement of cargo. Some of the transit times that you can see currently, it's just way too long, which means you have to invest in extra assets. And if you can get these assets to move, which is certainly for us in Transnet Freight Rail an issue, you need to sweat these assets. And if you have them transiting for too long, you're not sweating them. You're wasting time. So anything that contributes to delays in movement of cargo, you need to try and address as quickly. And that's what we're trying to do with SARA.
Mm. Where are the interoperability issues? I mean, like, we're all on the same gauge, so where are the challenges?
A lot of it has to do with the access. Mm-hmm. We're busy with Transnet, busy with this infrastructure manager, and I think access would work differently under the infrastructure manager. But obviously, anyone who wants to access our network would have to comply to the RSR regulations. But you won't have this issue of the train only goes to there and then TFR needs to come and get it and take it further. You lose a lot of time at Komati Port. You can see there's a lot of congestion there. Others are able to access our network. You'll probably get more efficiency. We can see now with what we're doing to Maputo, we have these run-through trains. And we've seen a lot of efficiency on that. And that's through agreements that we've concluded with our cross-border neighbours.
How is Transnet Freight Rail supporting Prasa's rail recovery? I was in Cape Town earlier this week for their 200th train launch, opening of the Southern Line. I feel like, or I understood that there might be just a little bit of friction in terms of lines that Transnet...
I wouldn't say that there's friction. I've had discussions with Hisham about lines that are more critical to Prasa than they are to us, the Effingham line, Stanger line. We're in the process of concluding agreements where they take over these lines. It might, in the short term, and then seeing in the longer term how we can transfer it to them. We will still have access to the line, but they want to deploy the EMUs. Yeah. They want to deploy it there. And for us, it's not really an electrical line. So from a South African point of view, it just makes sense that they take over the line, but where we require access, we engage them. We've got joint teams working on these things, and it's not only on the KZN side, it's also in the Gauteng area. And I'm open to saying, if it's more of use to them, what would be the purpose for us trying to keep those lines in Transnet? It just doesn't make sense, so we need to look at the bigger picture. So I wouldn't say there's friction.
How is TFRAC going to look going forward? And are you really going to talk about corridors when you no longer have the infrastructure per se? Are you not going to focus more on businesses and promoting what it is you move to become actually customer-centric, not talking about being customer-centric?
So in 2020, we changed our approach to have a more inward-looking approach, and we moved to these corridors. And my feeling is that under the infrastructure manager, and like you say, we're going to be an operating company competing with others. We need to look at ourselves again, and we've had discussions about changing the model again to have a more outward-looking approach. We serve the customers better and have a more outward-looking approach. As we move forward under TFRAC, we would then say, which of these markets are we competitive in, and where we need to focus? So it's really doing an analysis of our business. Which areas do we need to play in? You'll find smaller operators coming in, and they might be better doing some things. They have more agility, and we must be honest about those things and see that we focus our efforts on the things that we can be strong in. It's a journey, but we've started the work as to exactly how we position ourselves as we move forward, and it cannot be corridors. What I foresee is that as we move forward, you'll see more of the smaller operators coming online and starting to be competitive, and we need to gear ourselves for that. I think there's more capacity on the network than we can utilize, and with others coming online, certainly we will be able to move more cargo in South Africa.
But how are you going to actually market and position yourself to your customers to say that you are reliable, predictable, and competitive?
You have to look at the logistics system in South Africa. And you need to look at being competitive. If you look at the access fee, you cannot just say, this is what it's going to cost on the rail, and then you find that road is much cheaper. You have to be realistic about what it is, how much you then ultimately charge the customer for moving the product. If it's not competitive, you're going to lose the business, and you'll find more trucks on the road. There will be some deliberations and discussions around the access charges, and we will also be making a presentation there and our views. But on the other hand, we also need to make sure that we get to be efficient, and we look at cost, because any new train operating company would do exactly that. And if we're not efficient and our costs are too high, we will lose the business. So there's a lot of work for us to do as TFRAC to get fit,
yeah,
and improve our service. I think a lot of the work on the TRIM side will also help us. So, for instance, the signaling that you spoke about, running times of trains, through signaling and manual authorizations, you lose a lot of time. So those issues can be fixed. Obviously, you get efficiency. But there are other issues that we need to fix. I spoke about the locomotives, increasing the fleet of locos.
The plan around that.
So for the locos...
Like, are you going to go buy more locos? Hopefully a better package to market.
Number one, we need to make sure the ones that we have and we recently bought, we need to have proper maintenance support for it. And that's our focus really right now. So even for the CRRC locos, it's to have a step-in OEM that supports you as you move forward. Yeah. These locos are fairly new. And even if we get the components to fix them now, what's your plan as you move forward? So you need to have some maintenance support, and that's why we're engaging a step-in OEM that can support us not only now, but as we move forward also. The other types of locos, we have agreements already to get these locos. I want all the locos back in service.
I'm sure you do.
I want all the locos back in service. There's demand for rail. And we've looked at various partnerships. You would have seen earlier this year with Sasol, where we signed the agreement. We reduce the tariff, they take care of the maintenance, and they refurbish these wagons. And we've got something that we're working on now for one of the key lines, where we can hopefully have a similar model where they can help us to increase our capacity. We have to have a discussion around the commercials, but ultimately get more of the product that's on road back onto rail. For some of the small, some of the low-density lines, new train operating companies might be more competitive than we are. And we have to be honest about the space that we want to play in. And if others are better, we must acknowledge that and say, where do we operate? And so I think there is capacity on the network. Surely there's more to unlock, like you indicated, the slots. On the North Corridor, on the coal line, with the signaling, that will unlock more of the slots. We've done some maintenance now on the Ore Corridor, gives us 7 more slots. In TFR as it is currently, our focus is still very much on refurbishing the network or rehabilitating the network and making sure that we unlock capacity. We don't have the mindset of TFROC already, and we only look at operations. I mean, I still have to make sure that the network is as reliable as it is until that split. So it's a key part of our business. But also we have this team under Bessie managing the implementation of the infrastructure manager.
Stimulate the sector. And if we're stimulating the sector, then we can go back to building our local base, which is what we used to have. 10-year contracts, we had good supply base in terms of components and maintenance. And sadly, what Transnet is suffering now was actually self-inflicted to a degree. So I'm looking forward to seeing a new Transnet and a new energized vision, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the business position to meet those demands.
That's what we're pushing for. I must say, like you say, there's a lot of issues that we need to resolve. It's going to take some time, but I think the things that we're implementing are really the things that will unlock the capacity and get more. So whether it's on the recovery plan from a TFROC point of view, or whether it is then allowing others to also access the network, these are the things that would grow volumes as we move forward. We just need to find the right mechanism as to how we can then get others to get on the network faster. And I don't know if there's an interim solution, but the more players you eventually have on the network, it brings down the cost. For everybody, because
especially
right now, as TFR, we have to carry the burden of maintaining the network on our own. And if you have other operators through access charges, you can raise more funding for the maintenance of the network.